Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for all women navigating their way through the maze of midlife, armed with only our wits, our senses of humour, and on occasion, bucket loads of gin. Mine's a Tanqueray Seville, please, barman. I'm Sarah Kaywood. I used to be on telly in the 90s and noughties. But I wasn't Sarah Cox, despite that attempt at a Northern accent. My co-host is the gorgeous Lulu Mitchell. How are you, Luby Luby?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. Sun's shining, always helps.
Oh, I know, doesn't it? And also, I'm about to say something that's about as peak middle class as I'm going to get. But when we had our extension done, and it was finished last summer, but it was a bit shit last summer, wasn't it? And this summer is the first time we've got garden furniture, and we push the bifolds back and have that inside-outside space.
Lovely.
So you can literally go out and sit on the sofa right outside on the decking. And for my 50th birthday, my mother's bought me an egg chair.
Oh, gorgeous. Bag it for me.
Well, no, I reckon we can squeeze our butts on it together. How are you anyway? What's been going? Yes, Louise, I will not have that from you. Take it back.
I've always had a thing about having a big butt. And the amount of people that say to me, you haven't got a big butt. I've got a bubble butt, so it sticks out. And apparently that's a good thing.
Well, fucking Kim Kardashian's made billions of pounds out of it.
I know, but I was a kid pre that. So unfortunately, I missed out on the joy.
Own it now.
I am.
Good. How are you? Is everything all right in Lululand? Well, I like that.
Yes. Lululand. Well, Johnny started his GCSEs, so that's fun. Yeah. But he's spending a bit more time at his dad's. I think travelling between the two of them is causing major confusion. Yeah. So he's spending a bit more time at his dad's, which works for everybody. So, yeah, no, we're all good. Yeah. Lola gets back from uni. Well, she finishes uni and then she's into full holiday festival mode. So I'm not entirely sure when I'm going to see her, but having missed out on two summers and not going on holiday and stuff, she's now got 5 holidays. So two with us, one with her dad, one with me, and the other 3 all financed by herself. So
good girl.
Good honour, I say. Good honour.
Do you know, I never went on a girl's holiday. I've never been on a girl's holiday. No, I know.
We need to remedy that.
It was a rite of passage, right? No, I've never been on... Oh, I've been on like... I think I've been on... But when I was pregnant, I think I went on one with my friend Polly and Becca. And Joe, yeah, I went to meet... But no, never been on it. Can we do that? Should we get that
We'll definitely do that. Right. Yeah. Well, we'll get a trip into Donna first. Sorry, so I've already dropped her name.
Yeah, it's all right.
But we need to do that urgently.
Yeah.
And then we'll organise a trip away abroad somewhere.
And Louise has basically sent us nicely into telling you about, well, that was a clue, all about today's guest on Irregular Bitches.
Irregular Bitches.
Our guest today is a truly amazing poet whose wonderful words came to the fore just before the pandemic and carried us through the last 2 years with their warmth, empathy, relatability and wisdom. We are also immensely proud to call her our Irregular Bitches poet. It is, of course, lovely Donna Ashworth. Hello. We are so proud. I mean, honestly, there was already like 500,000 women on the Ladies Pass It On page on Facebook, but we still feel like we discovered you and we did nothing of the sort, did we, Lou?
Well, you were definitely my first podcast and the first people to ask me to record the poems for anything like that. So yeah, you did, absolutely.
I love that.
Oh, it's amazing. I guess let's start at the very beginning, as Julianne Jones would sing. I won't sing it because I can't sing. So how did all of this happen? How did we end up here?
In a nutshell, I started a Facebook page, funnily enough, around about 5 years ago yesterday, because it came up in my memories. And I wanted to do a little online magazine, and my initial idea was just something for me to do, because we owned a children's play centre, and I missed the sort of writing, and I missed doing something a bit creative. So I thought, I'll start a little Facebook page with a website, and I'll share stories about health and parenting, and it's just myself. And so I started building up a little audience on there. And then I started sharing some inspirational quotes, and then I started writing things that were a bit more deep, and, you know, started sharing tiny little snippets. And I quickly realized that people enjoyed that. Hmm. So I started sharing things other people had written. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to write it myself, maybe not put my name to it straight away in case people laugh at it. And then when people started to enjoy it, I started to do more and more. And then lockdown happened, and I thought, I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to put my mind to it. It's going to keep me sane. It's hopefully going to help other people. And so that's when it really started to build and build and build and build.
You have an unbelievable talent to literally put your finger on how so many people are feeling. Mm. How have you been through, like, lots of shit?
You know what? I've not been through any more than anybody else, and I've probably not been through less either. But I feel everything a bit more deeply, and I always have. So I'm real oversensitive, overthinker, highly strung, highly anxious person, and I always have been since childhood. So for me, sailing through life was never going to be an option. Everything was a struggle for me. And so, you know, it stems from there. So I have to work a bit harder at maintaining a normal state of mind, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I write about the things that bother me, or that I'm feeling, and that I imagine everybody else is feeling, because I've always been somebody who has the weight of the world on my shoulders. Ever since childhood, I would go to bed worrying about world peace and famines and fires, and more so than normal, I think. So it just all comes from that. It's just an overthinking, overfeeling mind.
I can't believe, actually, that you only just started this. When you said, I thought you'd always, so you've only been a writer for like 5 years.
About 3 years I've been actually writing. So before that, it was sort of little snippets here and there. Uh-huh. I suppose you would call it writing, but for me, it was just sort of little articles on, you know, how to detox with feet patches, and, you know, are we all trying to be picked up? And I went from subjects like that onto deeper subjects, but in a more analytical view, friendships and things like that. And then I just started getting into actual poetry. And once I realised that people enjoyed it, I was able to let myself go on it and really indulge. And I think that once you get the confidence that you're not being silly or over emotional, once you get that confidence behind you, we can all write down how we feel, and it just sounds beautiful, and people are going to resonate with it, because we're all the same, aren't we? Really, underneath all the differences, we all feel exactly the same about most things.
You're just particularly good with your words and managing to pinpoint things. So on the back of you being, I hate it being oversensitive, but a sensitive person, because obviously there's pluses that come out of it as well. How do you look after your mental health then? Are there things that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I've struggled from early teens. I was very badly anorexic as a teenager, and that came from the, you know, the perfectionism, the realizing that I could be really good at school, and that would give me a place in life. I was the clever one. But really what it was, it's an ability to remember. So I've got a bit of a photographic memory, and I was able to use that in school to pass exams really well. But what I wasn't doing was dealing with anything else socially, or, you know, where I fit in society or growing up. So it wasn't long before I was in real deep water as a teenager with mental health issues. Mm. I became really badly anorexic. And my mum managed to help me through that with Reiki and some sort of self-help books that were available at the time. There wasn't much. And I stumbled through for a few years, and then it got me again in my early 20s. I was in the music industry, which, you know, at the time, eat you up and spit you out, you know, industry, worst place somebody who is sensitive could be. But I was the songwriter, so I wanted to get my words to the people. And I thought, if I become a musician, people will read my lyrics and they'll hear my music, and, you know, we will all be. So I felt it on a really deep level. These songs were all about the lyrics. And I was that terrible musician that would make people listen to the lyrics. Did you listen? And then rewind it. Did you hear it though? Did you hear that? And they're just like, they just want to enjoy the tune.
Oh no, not me. I'm all about the lyrics.
I'm all
if
about
you go back through if you go back through my old diaries, I used to write songs out, and even now a song will come on the radio and I will go, I default to lyrics. So I'm with you, babe. Yeah,
okay, so I get the lyrics wrong. I am the person that's always saying one word wrong, and I don't care, and I make it up as I go.
And my husband just sings whatever he likes, and it drives me mad.
Yeah, I hate twisted lyrics.
I'm like, Robert, that's the whole point of the song. You're singing about something completely different. So
I'm sorry.
For me, it was all about the words. And I would have been a terrible famous person if I did get signed for my album. I was signed to the same management company as Cleopatra. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
Coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually toured as their
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Donna Ashworth, Cleopatra coming at you, support act. Have you got any of this, like, is any of this committed to tape anywhere?
No, because it was all before the internet.
Right.
But surely a tape. I mean, I'll get my pencil out if you want and like tighten it up.
I've got all my music on CD, and some of it I do have on my computer. But
that's what I mean. Like, can we listen to it? Basically.
Oh yeah, I'm on SoundCloud.
There we go. That's where we need to go.
But I was never really a great singer. In retrospect, I can hold a tune, but it was for me. It was the It was the lyrics. And if I knew that being a poet was a thing, knew it was a job and a career, I would have just gone straight to that and cut out all the need to look a certain way and the need to be a great singer and dancer, which I'm not talented at all. So I wanted to be somebody like Natalie Imbruglia or Alanis Morissette. Those were my heroes at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a highway going nowhere. But it was a great experience. And that you can look back and see where the, you know, where the poetry has come from.
It's funny, actually, because you say that if you'd known poetry was a thing, I don't think it probably was back then. But I think it is very much, I think you're leading the charge for poetry to be in the mainstream now, and it's always been a bit fringe, hasn't it, before?
Well, let me tell you this, poetry is definitely coming back, because the poetry chart on Amazon, for example, is normally you know, it's all the old school poets. So you've got your Shakespeare and you've got your collections of this and your Maya Angelou and all that. But in the last 2 years since I've been in that chart and watching it, you know, we are getting so much more coming through, and poetry is really starting to make a comeback. And I think Amanda Gorman, who spoke at the inauguration, she recited that amazing poem that she wrote at the inauguration, really made that more so. But there are a couple of young poets who have become famous on TikTok. And they've self-published their own books, and they are very much teenage, you know, poetry, and they sell brilliantly. So it's wonderful to see that resurgence. It doesn't have to be all about flowery grammar and, you know, the imagery that we studied when we were at school, that you either understood or you didn't. You know, some people just heard poetry and thought, oh no, I'm going to be asked questions that, you know, make no sense to my analytical brain or whatever. So you either had the brain of a poet or you were on the outside looking in, whereas now it's just about putting feelings onto paper. And it doesn't have to be flowery, it doesn't have to be clever, it can just be raw. And that in itself will have the effect that it needs to have on the person who reads it.
Yeah, I follow a poet actually called on Instagram. I follow a young girl called Simply Sayo. She's amazing. And I can't recommend her highly enough. And she's sort of a beat poet as well. So, yeah, she's really, really good. Go follow her. She's really, really good.
Sarah, steady.
Simply Sayo. I don't even know how I came across it as well. I think somebody else. She must maybe, it was before Reels as well. I've been following her for ages. But yeah, can highly recommend. So yeah, poetry. Sure. Who knew? It's the new rock and roll, Donna.
Who knew? It's definitely becoming fashionable again and more relatable. And I think a lot of the messages that I get are, I never thought I would buy a poetry book and I have three of yours. And, you know, I didn't think I would ever buy a poetry book because I didn't. I haven't. I don't own any except for ones that I've come across in the last couple of years that I've bought, you know, for other people to show support and to share. It's just not something I would have done either. So it's great to see. Great to see it coming back. We need it. We need it.
Do you have a favourite?
I was going to ask that. Yeah, a favourite poet.
Not a favourite child, a favourite poet. Favourite poem.
I love a woman called Nikita Gill. And I don't even know if she has a book because, and do you know what, I must go and check. And if she does, I must buy them. But I have this irrational fear that if I buy poetry books and read them, that somewhere in my photographic memory, it will nestle itself in and reproduce in something that I...
Okay.
Again, the overthinking, you know, over-anxious mind worries that I'll somehow plagiarise someone by accident or, you know... absorb what they have written and then write something similar. But Nikita Gill, I see her stuff flying around the internet all the time. She writes really short poems and they are so impactful and they're just so beautiful. She's amazing.
She's got loads. Listen to what they're called. I've just looked it up. Fierce Fairy Tales and Other Stories to Stir Your Soul.
Oh,
Great Goddesses, Life Lessons from Myths and Monsters. The Girl and the Goddess.
Love it.
Where Hope Comes From, Healing Poetry for the Heart, Mind and Soul. Oh. Your Heart is the Sea, Wild Embers. Like, I want to call a kid that. Hey, Wild.
I'm going to have to get them all now.
Irregular.
Bitches.
I still hand write everything, so it drives Sarah mad. She's like, ping questions over to me. I'm like, you're not going to be able to read my writing. She's like, what do you mean read your writing? But have you got a process, Donna? Do you go straight? You tell me, I won't try and guess.
I don't handwrite anything. In fact, I've forgotten how to write. I'm going to be open and honest. My writing has gone back to that of a six-year-old me. I used to have beautiful writing as a teenager. But no, I've got an iPad Pro, which I treated myself to when I started the page. Because, you know, when it's a real female thing, but do you remember when you would start a new project or start a new school year and you would get your little stationery all set up?
Oh yeah, that was new stationery.
Now I'm ready.
Yes,
I've got my new notebook and I've got my new pencil case and now I'm going to absolutely kick it. So that felt like the same thing for me. I treated myself to a really nice iPad. And, you know, I drive everybody mad because currently I sound like, you know, 10 mice tap dancing at high speed. I'm a terrible typer, but I type really quickly. And I'm always...
But also, the thing about iPads is it second guesses what you're going to say, doesn't it? So it like fills in the blanks, which is brilliant if you can't type and you can't write.
Yeah. Well, it never goes where I'm going in my mind. It still doesn't know me. It still thinks I want to say all of this random stuff. But so I take my iPad everywhere I go and I might make a little note in my phone if I'm out and about, but mostly I just do it on the iPad. And it's something that I do every day, all the time, mostly when I wake up. That's kind of like the half hour that I will, it's like it's delivered in the night when I'm asleep and I wake up and it's all there and I just chuck it out and it always comes as a full piece. And my songs used to do that as well. It's never a work in progress. I never go back to it and manipulate it or think that was a good idea. I'll chop it and change it. A couple of times I've done that, but for the most part it arrives, you know, like a fax.
Amazing.
Like an old-fashioned fax in my brain. And then out it goes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Irregular
bitches.
I want to know why you think, I mean, there might not be an answer to this, but why do you think you resonate so much with midlife women? Like, I mean, literally, I've just been going through the book while my husband, long-suffering husband, was trying to get us technically sorted. And they just all want to make me cry. They literally just, I think I said when I was lucky enough to do a sleeve note on one of the, it was for the women, yeah, wasn't it? To the women. That's it. And I just see, literally, your words touched my soul. And I think I can speak for most midlife women. And why do you think that is?
I think it is, well, number one, because that's where I am in life. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm, you know, that's what I'm immersed in. And that's, I've been quite shocked by what I encountered in midlife in many ways. And I kind of had my second child and I wanted to sort of look around at everybody else and go, is it just me? Anybody else? Is this hard?
Yeah.
what about, yeah, this? What about, really, what I was trying to do without realizing it was find out if I was alone. So I was struggling with this whole image of being the perfect parent, trying to get it all right, you know, trying to be a good mum, trying to be a good friend, trying to also have a career, trying to not feel guilty about working too much, trying to get the balance right. And I just thought to myself, this is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Surely somebody else must be feeling like I'm feeling. And of course, the minute you put out that little call, you know, the first hand up is always tentative, and then everybody else is like, yes, me too, it's a nightmare. And so what I didn't understand until I look back now, yeah, is that I was looking for a tribe of people to go, it's all right to get things wrong, it's all right to forget, it's all right to fail, it's all right to not be perfect, it's all right to hate going to the gym and, you know, really want to just allow yourself to get older and get fatter, and but also still want to have nice hair and a nice lipstick some days. You know, it's all right to be all things at all times and just be who you are. And if it's not good enough for people, then, you know, this is the time to realize that and let the people go and let the people come in who need to come in. So once I started on it, I couldn't stop, basically. And now it's just a case of, if I'm feeling something, chances are you'll be feeling it as well. Maybe not today, but in 6 months' time or 3 months ago. And I just think women have such a similar journey, regardless of what they do or whether they have kids or whether they're single. We still have a similar journey and we still have a similar thought process. And we all hit that point where we go, that's it now. I'm not doing this anymore. This is silly.
Yeah,
this is silly. Yeah.
It is. That's what it is. It's funny when you, just before you said it, I was when you said, you know, one person tentatively, yeah, put their hands up. I do feel, and I know Lou feels the same way, like we are a tribe, midlife women. We are a tribe, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again. People forget we were the rebels of the 90s, yeah, and noughties. Do you know what I mean? We were raised differently from our mothers and our grandmothers, and we're not going down without a fight.
No, exactly. And also, we're not here to suffer, you know. No. And it's tough in your teens and your 20s. Yeah, you're having a lot of fun, but really you're constantly anxious about, you know, am I going to have a career? Am I going to have my own house? Am I ever going to get married? Am I ever going to have kids? Am I ever going to be... So it might look great fun and wonderful from the outside, but we remember that life as a young person is... it's a bit traumatizing, you know. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a huge amount of bad stuff as well, and it's about getting to the point at going at some point that has to stop, and the fun has to come in, and the peace has to come in, and the acceptance has to come in. And as soon as you accept that this is as good as I'm ever going to get, and I might be great some days, but on other days I'm going to be absolutely rubbish. As soon as you make that acceptance, and you know, everybody else familiarizes with that and gets used to it, suddenly life is just a whole lot easier. And the peace, you know, the most important thing to me now is my peace, and I will not disrupt it for very little. It has to be something really special if I think it's going to take away my little peaceful world that I've created.
And so, are you at peace? Do you think you are in a better space mental health wise than you've ever been? And do you think writing has been a part of that, or do you just think the passage of time?
Hugely. I mean, I get to do something now every day that helps me deal with my own thought processes and my own ups and downs. Because I'm a real up and down person. You know, I can always find the joy in the day, even if I feel really low. I can still laugh at a cat on TikTok or something, and as long as I can laugh at something in a day, I'm fine. But I do, you know, this is who I am. I'm a real up and down, in and out. There's rarely a calm week in my mind. So I have to then make sure that my life is calm. And when you've got kids, and, you know, that's not easy. So you build it in the best possible way to minimize the chaos. And the chaos should be the fun stuff. So it should be the birthday parties and the family get-togethers and the friends being able to drop in. That kind of chaos is always welcome. But when it comes to drama, or, you know, unnecessary putting yourself out to achieve things that actually, when you think, is that really going to matter in 20 years' time? That kind of chaos is shelved, gone. Only good chaos now and peace. So it helps me every single day. So to be able to do something every day that helps me and fits exactly in with my really weird brain is a total gift.
It's really good for you to write stuff down, is it? Journaling? I mean, even if you aren't going to broadcast it the way Donna has, do you journal, Lou? Do you write gratitudes or anything?
No, I do that naturally every day because of my job. But I do journal, but I haven't made it I have to do it every day thing. So I've got, like Donna was describing, I've got a beautiful leather book and all the pens and stencils and stickers and the full works. And when I've got something to say, then I put it down in my journal and I make it all look beautiful. But I can't be doing with the, you've got to do it every day and you've got to list this and then you've got to list that.
So much pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. I just make it a fun thing. So I do when I want to.
See, I don't journal. I just go onto Instagram, and I should really perhaps journal instead. Shut up, Kaywood.
I'm like you, Sarah. I don't journal. And The only time I'll ever sort of write something down in that way is if I'm really angry at somebody for something, and I will put it all into an email that I'll never send. And I find that a really cathartic thing, but I don't journal, and I don't, because I don't like to write, and I don't have the capacity to spend that time, which sounds terrible. But if I think somebody else is going to read it and possibly resonate with it, and it might help them, or it might, you know, then that's a completely different thing. I can write for hours and hours.
So you do journal, really? You just share it?
Just journal and share it, exactly, like you do on Instagram. You know, it's a different way of doing it, isn't it?
Oversharing it.
Well, you say oversharing, I don't really think there's such a thing as oversharing anymore.
Neither do I.
I'm sure I have probably overshared on occasion.
I mean,
but like you said, but if there's one person on my Instagram feed that goes, oh, thanks for saying that out loud, Kaywood, then my job's done.
Exactly.
I bought Lou for her birthday last year. I bought her a print that I found. What's it say? It's got a little girl in like a prairie dress. It's a painting. Mm. It's so cool. And she's drawing, she's graffitiing on a wall. So she looks like Holly Hobby. Oh. But she's, and what's she writing? No fucks given.
Yeah, she's halfway through writing No Fucks Given.
It's really good. In fact, I bought basically I Want It Myself. I'm going to have to go and get that print. Because it is
although best card of present.
Well, yeah, but my kids would be like, Mummy, you can't have swears on the wall. Exactly. And they get really upset. So because exactly. I wanted this thing that says shit show above the oven.
It's give it a few more years, you'll be fine.
It's in carnival writing. So like, you know, like it's circus show. It says shit show. But they weren't having it.
I love that.
It's good, isn't it?
Irregular
bitches.
Can I just read one of the ones, one of your, it's because the other thing I noticed with I Wish I Knew, which is the latest, out now, all good bookshops and online retailers, people. So this one that I want to read, it's just a paragraph. But the reason it resonated so much is because, and Lou might not be so guilty of this, but with this social media world that we live in, I tell my friends that if they're comparing themselves, I always say comparison is the death of joy, and it's greener grass. Am I allowed to read it?
Do.
Can I read it? It says, the grass will often look greener elsewhere, and maybe it is, or maybe it's fake. Maybe that grass has been lovingly watered every day. Maybe the weather has been just the perfect kind to grow that grass right. What I'm trying to say is, your grass is green enough. And if you water it more and shine some sunlight on it daily, it will only grow greener still. Love your own grass. Everything you love only gets better. I love it.
Gorgeous message.
I just love it.
Gorgeous.
I just love it. Honestly, that's just, I mean, I've got so many post-its in that.
That's exactly what I did when I sent a list over to Donna, and I messaged, didn't I, and said, I'm putting my post-it notes in, I'm about a third of the way through, and I'm up to about 25.
I can't, can I just say, and I know that Lou did the same thing, can I just say to everybody listening, go and buy 3 or 4 copies of these books and put them in your present cupboard. Because you know what I've gone and done, though? I've only gone and given all of my to the women and notes from a pandemic. I've given them all away. I now don't possess those myself, so I'm going to have to rebuy them.
I'll send you one.
Which
I've
I will.
I've got some to the women.
No, you don't have to. No, don't. I love it. You see, that's the one, isn't it, that I sent to Fern. And I never... The reason, Donna, I'll tell you the backstory to this. The reason I sent Fern that book is because I read somewhere, or I heard, I think it was on her podcast, that she talked about how she loves to give books and how she loves to receive them. And she said, but people don't often buy books for me. And serendipitously, I had been recommended to the women the week before by an Instagram follower, and I bought it and I loved it, and I was like, I know who I'm going to send this to. And it was apropos of nothing. It was a random act of kindness, just because I knew that she would really love it. I never expected her to share it, but I know that it kind of went a bit viral after that.
And I mean,
for me,
when something like that happens for someone like me, you can't buy it, you know, you can't predict it. Like you say, it's such a random sequence of events, and it's organic. And what could be better than somebody organically gifting something of yours to somebody who organically is touched by it and then shares? It wasn't she didn't even tag me, because why would she? Because she was just sharing. It wasn't sort of partnership thing or a please, you know, it was just one of those lovely things. And for me, it's like, you know, joy raining down. It's this is the best thing. It's just so wonderful. I can't even begin to tell you how that feels. And then when you say that Fern had name checked me in her new book, you know, again, it was one of those moments that you just can't believe. So I went out and bought that, and I was like,
it's right at the end. Yeah, so you must have had to get through the whole thing.
Well, actually, I sniffed it out really quickly. You'd be surprised. It's like I knew. Because it's not just at the end. It's also in a paragraph, in a chapter.
Spotted. I missed that.
I managed to find it after about 4 or 5 page flicks. It was like it called to me. here you are.
Love it.
Of course. It's so not, you know what, we'll go back to this briefly and find out. Probably should have prepped you, but this brings us nicely to Irregular Bitches Recommends, doesn't it, Lou? Because we do, because that's basically why that was born, wasn't it? It's because we were constantly sharing of that. And it's so generous of Fern to share on her platforms as well, because she knows that what's going to, and I always try and share on my meagre platforms when I can. And Lou does, we all do. But do you have anything particular midlife women wise that you just would swear by, that you find yourself telling your friends about all the time, either a book or a skin cream or anything like that? Is there anything? And I know I put you on the spot a bit. Or a food?
My mind has gone completely and utterly blank.
Have a think about it, because I bet Lou's got more to ask, and we'll maybe come back to it. If not, I can always fill in that blank. I've always got shitloads to recommend.
Yeah, let me have a think about it. I'm sure I'll be texting you all night with a million things that I've thought about. I can add it underneath.
Irregular
Bitches.
My biggest recommendation of all, because there is so much going on, whether you're perimenopausal or menopausal, you're thinking about your fitness, you're thinking about your diet, you're thinking about the way you relate with your family, you're thinking about, am I a good friend? Oh, am I a terrible wife? That's the first one to go, isn't it? That's the first one to drop down the list. Poor husbands. But you worry about that too. And, you know, am I a good carer for my elderly relatives? Am I, you know, bringing up my kids well enough? Am I nurturing them? You are being pulled in so many different directions that for me, the biggest recommend I would give anybody is keep talking about it at any point. Keep seeking anything out that you can read, anybody that's talking about it, anyone who wants to have a conversation or a coffee, keep bringing it up instead of just, you know, talking about the weather, you know, straight into the old, oh, you know, I'm really struggling to sleep, I keep having these, you know, intrusive thoughts, or just keep chatting, because the more we talk about it, the more it becomes normal conversation, the more is available. It's like, you know, it's like sending out to the universe and it rains down, doesn't it? There's so much out there. So just keep seeking somebody else who is, you know, going to listen or feel the same or know someone or something, and keep the conversation flowing.
Great
that's
advice.
That's an amazing Irregular Bitches Recommends. And just a brief aside, at the back of Donna's book, there is 2 pages worth of places that you can go. If you have been affected by any of the topics raised in I Wish I Knew, you may find it helpful to talk to your partner, relative, friend, or reach out to one of the services below. And there's loads there. So yeah, I love that. Nice touch.
Oh, thank you. It was important to me that, you know, it had some sort of practical help as well, because it's all very well opening up the conversations, but some people won't have anybody to further that chat with, which makes me sad. This book was designed for women our age, but also right down to the teenagers, because for me, that's when my issues began. And if I was able to talk about it then, if I was able to read things then, it would have really helped me, you know, rather than struggle through my 20s and 30s, pretending everything was all right, and that I wasn't somebody who struggled with all things. Nobody who knew me would ever know that I go up and down, or, you know, I suppose I do suffer with depression. I've never coined the phrase. I've always just gone, I'm having one of my little dips, you know, but at the end of the day, that's depression. It is. It's when you go, you know, low. If I was talking about it from an early age, it would have been a completely different ball game for me. So I really want to try and encourage aunties, grannies, mums, sisters, cousins, whatever, to try and open these little conversations. It could be the tiniest little part of a conversation, but what that does is it you know, it could fall on deaf ears. It could look like the whole thing was a complete waste of time, and if maybe the wrong thing to say to somebody, but what that does is it starts a process where that teenager or that young person is going to think, you know, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm not the
only
one.
So a seed.
That was really important for me too, because, you know, the numbers of suicides amongst young people at the moment is ridiculously high. And there's been quite a lot of studies done to say that it's an impulse that, you know, I don't know how they can study this. I don't know how they can find this out. But that moment in time, that decision is an impulse that, given a different sequence of events, could have been avoided. And that's a minefield, because what you don't want to do is make people think that there is something they could have done, or, you know, add any guilt or any. But it is a scientific thing that teenage brains and young brains, you know, they're developing all the time, and they don't reach that full point of development until their early 20s. And there are these synapses and these impulses that, you know, that still fire. That's why teenagers can do impulsive things and silly things sometimes. So just that one little thought. There is a poem in the book about suicide, and it was important for me to put that in there. That little thought could possibly change a course of events, even just for that one day. Wouldn't that be, you know, a wonderful thing?
Amazing.
You need to give it to Lola.
She'll be home in the next few weeks. She'll be back. Yeah. She's read two, so she'll have the next one by her bed.
Oh, bless her. Lou, have you got anything else you need, have any burning desires to ask?
No, I think we've just about gone through my list.
We've rinsed her.
We knew she'd be brilliant. We knew that.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Donna, honestly, you're very special. I don't think you realise that. Well, I hope you do, but you bring magic to the table. And I'm so glad that you are doing what you're doing and taking your words out there. It's wonderful. And I love that poetry is now a thing, and prose and sharing and emotions and everything. I just think it just makes me warm and fuzzy. And just quickly, you have a piece of prose about people being cool and people being warm. Yes. Oh my God, I loved it, because I know so many cool people and that I wish I was, and I've never been cool.
Me neither.
I was always the co-host that was the uncool one in any show I did.
I thought you were cool.
I don't think that's true. That may be how you feel, but...
Not as cool as the others.
I know what you mean. You're an overshader. You're somebody who will be effusive and warm and bubbly. And sometimes you wish you could be the laid-back, gracious person who seems to... really consider what they say and never thinks, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
And witty, you know, with sharp wit and stuff. And I was never that person. When I read that, I nearly cried. I was like, I would rather be that person.
Absolutely.
That Donna's talking about.
I'd rather be now over the top, over too much. Because, you know, you're being yourself, you're being authentic. And that warmth that you share with other people, it comes through the phone. It comes through, you know, you are so like that, Sarah. And, you know, it you can feel that energy even when you're not in the room with somebody. You feel it coming through. You feel, you know, like you feel warmer. And I'd much rather, you know, feel that than a little icy, you know. Warm is where life is.
We're definitely a warm podcast, aren't we?
You're a brilliant podcast.
I would say so.
And you're so welcoming.
Our WhatsApp group's pretty good as well.
Yeah, can we just say, probably, we have, the three of us have a WhatsApp group.
I love it.
And I mean,
it is a place of joy.
I've started just now randomly voice messaging you with my issues.
I love it. Love it.
Oh, and please don't stop calling me Angel. She was like, today, I must have got to stop calling you Angel. It's a bit creepy. I was like, it's not creepy. Jesus, I'm all over the darlings, babes, sweetheart, sweet pea, sugar tits, all of it.
I think I had cast my eye down and there was three in a row just from me. And at the end, it's like Angel. And I was a bit like,
over Angel, no such thing.
I like sugar tits as a form of
change of entertainment.
Sugar tits.
And on that note, from three sugar titties here. did that sound really wrong? He can take it out. Thank you very much to my husband for editing and producing Irregular Bitches. That is all we've got time for this week. He's wonderful and helping sort out all of our tech issues. We love you, Andy.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you to Chopasaurus for our music. Thank you, Donna Ashworth, for just being you, bringing your words to everybody and being our poet. We love you. Oh. And thank you to my baby. Look at her there. Look at her little Tom. I love her so much. I just want to reach in and kiss her face. And she always gets the last word, which is looby, looby, looby.
Well, today it's going to be stay cool, sugar tits.
Irregular
bitches.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So oh, much. It was a joy. So it was a joy. I actually thought that Lou was going to say, stay warm, bitches.
Oh, no, God. I don't want that. Need to stay cool.
No, we need to. Oh, yeah.
It's a good point. We need a bit of cooling down at the moment.
Louise, I've been hot the last two nights.
So have I.
Okay. Has it started? Donna, this is a new thing for me. It started.
It started for me about three or four nights ago, and I've just been saying
it's not fun. I had
kind of got on top of them, but now it's not good, is it?
No, my feet get the hottest.
It changes. Oh. You feel like you've got it all, yes, balance. And then next, you know, all up in the air, it's all changed again. It drives me mad.
I know. For me, the itching at the moment, the itchy skin. Do you get the itchy skin?
I don't, but lots of people do. She gets
itchy ears.
Oh, I do get itchy in the ear. Me and Jo.
Shoulders and arms and shoulders and back and just... It drives me insane. It's a real symptom. And it's definitely one.
Lots of people find antihistamine helps with that.
Oh, yes, I've heard
thought
that.
I thought about starting to try that and see if that
lots
helps.
Lots of people find that is really helpful. Yeah.
Thank you. I have to say that my heat last night might have been because I binge watched the last three episodes of series 2 of Bridgerton. And I can't tell you how much I fancy Jonathan Bailey.
That's a different kind of heat.
You stoked your fire, Sarah. You stoked your fire. You put coal in your fire and then went to bed.
I swear to God. Actually, it's not him I fancy. It's Anthony Bridgerton, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
But, oh,
it
my
is.
God. The smoulder. Right, anyway. Okay. We need to go. Andy, you can keep this in if you want, babe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.